RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Well, 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 look who it is. It's not PJ Glasser. No, it is me, Jake Hassan, here filling in for PJ Glasser on Send It In on the BetMGM Network for the next 30 minutes. It's Friday. I'm in a great mood. We're going to have a great time. Shane Jackson from BetMGM is going to join us in just a second. We're going to continue what PJ has been doing all week, the NFL previews. We're going to break down the Arizona Cardinals today, their schedule, their upside, what I think of them. And of course, it wouldn't be a Hassan half hour if it wasn't baseball themed. So we will get to the awards. We will get to the slate today. I have a thought and or a bet on just about every game on the slate today. So we're going to get into all of that. But as always, you can find us on Twitch, on YouTube, on Twitter, at the BetMGM Network across all of those platforms, where you can interact with the show live while we're on the air. Some people would call that a bettor's box. I don't know who, certainly not me, but irregardless, you can go in there and drop your questions, your bets, your comments into the chat, and we will get to them later on in the program. But for now, as previously mentioned, we are joined by Shane Jackson of BetMGM, which ironically, his Twitter handle, you can find him at by Shane Jackson. And we are going to get into some baseball talk right off the top. But Shane, first and foremost, thanks for coming on, man. Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always good to talk to you about baseball.
Well, let's we finally have some movement, so let's start there, because the deadline was been percolating, I feel like, for the last couple of weeks, of a lot of smoke, rumors, where are certain players going to go, waiting to see who's going to end up selling. And we started to see some movement finally starting last night. The Arizona Diamondbacks trade first baseman Josh Naylor to the Seattle Mariners for a couple of pitching prospects. So that seems to imply that the Diamondbacks are indeed going to sell. You have to think that Eugenio Suarez is going to be next, because he's been absolutely unbelievable this year. He's been one of the best hitters in the game. But it starts with Josh Naylor, who they acquired over the winter from Cleveland, and now Arizona sends him to Seattle. So let's start with the Seattle of it all, Shane, because I think that's a more interesting conversation. Seattle's going to buy, and we know how much Jerry DePoto likes to get involved at the trade deadline. I'm sure this isn't going to be Seattle's final move of the deadline season, but they start with a big swing with Naylor. Now he lengthens that lineup. You add him to Julio Rodriguez, Randy Arozarena, and obviously Cal Raleigh, who has been unbelievable this year. But does Naylor do anything for you for Seattle? Does it make you want to make a bet? We saw Seattle's prices change a little bit for the long-term futures for World Series and playoffs, but what does the addition of Josh Naylor for the Mariners do for you?
Yeah, if you ever need a trade deadline to get kicked off, just ask Jerry DePoto to get involved, because he really likes to get this thing started. Same thing with Randy Arozarena last year as well. I do like this move a lot, though, not only because it's early and it kickstarts the deadline. I think that is a benefit for the Mariners, so they weren't in this like bidding war for Josh Naylor, but I think it helps their lineup. As you mentioned, it lengthens it by having a lefty in the middle of that middle of the lineup there. I think his, you know, low strikeout rate is a big boon for a Mariners team that had the highest strikeout rate last year. And so they're doing a little better on that aspect this year, but he already steps in as the guy who strikes out the least on the team. And just, I think the back end of that lineup was kind of questionable at best, especially on the first base and third base corner side. And so I think fixing at least one of those issues, maybe they get into the Suarez mix as well, and they can fix the other one as well. But yeah, I do like this a lot. I think generally my rule of thumb is to not overreact to moves like this when it comes from a betting perspective. I think this is maybe the one exception to the rule. And that's because I thought the Mariners had value before this move. And they certainly have value now, even with the odds adjustment. And I think the AL is just kind of wide open. My first instinct was to maybe be more on the AL West side and the AL pennant side. I think both of those projections wise have a little bit of value. But yeah, I think the Mariners are definitely one of the teams I'm very interested on. If they hit Suarez, you know, later on, I think that's only a major boom, makes them maybe the best team in the AL.
As far as Arizona, obviously they're going to be sellers. They've kind of been a fade this year in general just because they haven't been very good, but it looks like they're going to continue selling. Suarez is probably going to be next, maybe Merrill Kelly on top of that. But if you had to just take a guess, use the Shane Jackson glass ball, where do you see guys like Suarez, like Kelly going? Because it looks like Arizona is going to keep selling. Who else do you think they sell and where do you think they end up?
Yeah, my initial instinct was that Suarez wouldn't go to Seattle, but they really made it known through the reporting last night that that was still on the table. Seattle's, you know, trade return for Josh Naylor was a little bit cheaper, so I think they're very much still in the mix here. They have a huge hole at third base, but so do other contenders as well that could compete with them, like the Yankees as well. So I think one of those two teams could definitely come in and make a swing right there for it. Almost anyone could use a starting pitcher. I know that, you know, you're talking about Chicago all the time, but the Cubs need, you know, pitching as well. So I you know, who knows with Merrill Kelly as well, but there's going to be a lot of pitchers moved at this deadline. And he's certainly one that to keep an eye on as well. But yeah, I think the Diamondbacks are making the right decision here. I feel like there's maybe some teams in the AL who still maybe have hope going into this weekend, whereas Diamondbacks, they lost three in a row. They know that this is the time to sell for them, and they're selling all rental pieces as well. I think it's better to know pretty early on and get in on some of this return before the other teams get involved.
We also have some movement that was just breaking a little while ago. Gregory Soto goes from the Baltimore Orioles to the New York Mets. The Mets have kind of wrestled control of the NL East atop the division from the Phillies. For now, it's kind of been topsy-turvy all year long, but the Mets seeming to show and announce that they're going to be buying, which I don't think, given Stephen Cohen running the show, anybody was really doubting, but the Mets have started to kick things off here. When you look at the NL East, it's going to be Mets and Phillies the rest of the way. Do you lean one way or the other with either of those teams, and who do you think ends up pulling it out for the NL East crown?
Yeah, I kind of figured this might be one of the questions, and this is one of those questions I just don't want to answer to. Like, it's just, I have every day I change my opinion about who it is going to be. I went and saw the Mets live last week, and I was very excited about it, and then they lost, and I lost a couple to the Reds as well. And I was like, oh, well, maybe it's going to be the Phillies' turn, and then this week they're back in front as well. So, yeah, it's one of those things that keeps going back and forth. I do think the deadline helps shape our picture of a lot of things in the next week, and maybe I will change my opinion for good here in the next couple of days about which one it is, but it's very tight. I think the Phillies projections wise have the edge, but I mean, I just can't shake the feeling that we haven't seen the best version of the Mets. And so I think this, you know, like we weren't really worried about them buying them, but this Soto acquisition, it confirms that they're going to be buyers here in the next couple of days and maybe heavy buyers that could really alter the picture.
You mentioned the Cubs, and like you said, I'm in Chicago, so I want to go there next because that's another division where it's closer than we thought. And right now we have a team at the top of the division that everyone was kind of ignoring, and the Milwaukee Brewers now a one-game lead. It's razor thin, and the Cubs are still playing good baseball as well as they enter their weekend series with the White Sox. But are you surprised by the Brewers, Shane? Did they come out of nowhere for you? And what do you think they do? Because they obviously are an incomplete team. They're kind of relying on just a couple of guys here. They could use some work. You mentioned the work that the Cubs need in the rotation. How do you see the NL Central shaking out going forward?
Yeah, I'm extremely surprised. I was pretty all in on the Cubs this year. Thought they were going to kind of win that division going away. It wasn't priced that way from a betting perspective. It was pretty close between them and the Brewers. So obviously odds makers were more correct on that front. But the Brewers' recent run, I mean, their pitching has been phenomenal. And that was without Mizorowski doing most of the pitching during this recent run. So I do think that the Brewers have been one of the more pleasant surprises. But I also think, like, every team, it feels like, has gone through a stretch like this where they look like the best team in baseball over the last couple months. And so right now it's the Brewers' turn. Maybe it won't be here in a couple weeks. I do think the deadline offers a really interesting time with this division. I think the Cubs are more likely to be aggressive based off the front office's work and in terms of buying. And maybe if you are a Brewers believer, that might be the time to buy the Brewers because, you know, they might stand pat with a lot of their young talent and kind of growing into their full potential. I think they might like what they're doing and maybe, you know, buy cheaper pieces, whereas the Cubs take that big swing. And I think from a betting perspective, if you are a Brewers believer, that might be the time to invest in Milwaukee.
Shane, every time that we talk, every couple of weeks when I'm in for PJ and you're on a Friday, we talk about this award every single time, and it's American League Rookie of the Year. Me, you and I have talked about Jacob Wilson at length. He has completely fallen back. We have a new favorite in that market. His teammate, Nick Kurtz, is now your pretty massive favorite. He's a minus 300, minus 325 favorite here, and of course, I think he's deserved. He's hit home runs just about every day. He looks great. Now Wilson, the second favorite, plus 250. Cam Smith has dropped down to about that 9-1 range. But what do you see with American League Rookie of the Year, whether it's projections, the eye test? Disclaimer, I'm a huge Kurtz guy. We have Kurtz from before the year, so I'm very happy with this result right now. But what are you thinking for American League Rookie of the Year? Do you think that Kurtz is your likely winner at this point?
Yeah, I think you have to feel pretty good about Kurtz. I think the way the Rookie of the Year award, I mean, a lot of these awards work, right? But if you're someone like Jacob Wilson, where you're living on, you know, the batting average, like I'm going to get on a base through a hit, and maybe some bad luck a little bit. I mean, you're working on razor thin margins, whereas Kurtz hits over the fence, he gets those highlights and everyone starts talking about him. So I think it's, you know, deserving of a switch here. Maybe if Wilson ticked back up into that kind of second or third spot in the majors and batting average, maybe he would be more of a factor. I do think this is going to be an interesting race between these two down the stretch. I would consider Cameron Smith pretty much out of it at this point. And it's shaping up to be a two-player race. And so maybe I would be leaning towards like maybe just taking a flyer on Wilson here at this point, and if he gets hot, and then adding, you know, some Kurtz later. But again, I'm not working from the position of I took a great number on Kurtz before the season. I'm just thinking about it from a perspective right now, what I would do as a person not involved in either two players.
Really quick, I want to hit National League Rookie of the Year with you as well, because you have a pretty tight race there too. Jacob Mizorowski got out to a big favorite, has now come back. It's about a pick. Mizorowski's a slight favorite, minus 115 over Drake Baldwin, but this is the same thing too, right? It's going to be these two guys and we'll go back and forth. But my question to you, Shane, is because Mizorowski's a pitcher and the Brewers are already limiting his workload, do you think there's some value on Baldwin at minus 110, especially now that the Braves are seeming to committing to playing him every day?
Definitely. This is something we talked about last time as well, in the sense that that's when I was pretty in on getting a position on Baldwin, in which I did. And now I could add Mizorowski later if it gets to a point where he's maybe plus money as well. I do think Baldwin is the better bet right now. And we just kind of talked about it with the Wilson, whereas there's only certain slim avenues to winning it when you're a certain archetype of player. And for Mizorowski, he's a pitcher who one bad outing and all of a sudden, you know, his ERA balloons and he's not really the favorite in this market. Also talking about, like you mentioned, the Brewers maybe limiting his work as well down the stretch. You don't know how this is going to go, but I do know that like the way the Luis Hill AL Rookie of the Year award worked last year, he was a long shot as long as like 80-1 at one point. Then he was the minus odds favorite. And then he was a kind of distant contender. It just fluctuates so much when you're a pitcher that I think the only way you can approach this is by adding Drake Baldwin now and maybe looking for a better number on Mizorowski later.
Shane Jackson at by Shane Jackson on Twitter from BetMGM joins us here on Send It In on the BetMGM network. Shane, last one before we let you go, I want to hit you with an NBA question because you're nails with the NBA as well as Major League Baseball. But we just saw Summer League wrap up. We're obviously post the draft. We have awards markets up. Anything in NBA Rookie of the Year market right now that pops to you, whether it's a value bet, a misprice, anything that kind of catches your eye in NBA Rookie of the Year now that we're done with Summer League?
Well, the first thing that catches my eye is that Cooper Flagg is shaping up to be the biggest preseason favorite that we've ever had for this award. When it's like that, as the way I, you know, anybody who's gathering how they're listening to me right now, I don't like to bet those type of numbers. And so immediately my thought is like, where else can I go? And maybe adding Flagg at a later date. And that's how I approach betting. I try to position myself as much as possible. And in this case, I still think Ace Bailey is probably the best value. When you look at the top five picks, he's the one who steps into a really high usage workload for a very bad Jazz team who keeps clearing out players for him to have more playing time and more usage this season. Obviously, the pre-draft conversations took up a lot of the noise heading in the draft for Ace Bailey. But I think once the games start, people are going to forget all about that. And he's just going to put up numbers. And I think he's going to be a factor in this race. Is he going to win it? Probably not. But at 11-1, I just need to add him now and then add Flagg maybe at a later date if he gets cheaper at all.
Shane Jackson at by Shane Jackson on Twitter joins us here on Send It In on the BetMGM network. You could catch his work from BetMGM. Again, that's at by Shane Jackson on Twitter. Shane, as always, appreciate it, man. This was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
There he goes, Shane Jackson. Appreciate his time, as always, here on Send It In. Now, as we get into the second half of the show, before we get to my Major League Baseball bets, my thoughts, awards, the slate, all that good stuff, we're going to continue PJ's bit of previewing NFL teams here. And we start, I guess we do, we're going with, I don't know. My brain doesn't work super great, but we're going with the Arizona Cardinals today here on Send It In, and a team that a lot of people here on the BetMGM network are high on. I know Ryan Horvath of BetMGM Tonight, which you can catch Monday through Friday, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern on the BetMGM network. He's high on the Cardinals. Nick Costos of You Better You Bet fame, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern Monday through Friday here on the BetMGM network. He likes the Cardinals, and I'm right there with them, and I don't have much to push back on them with this Cardinals team. They're a plus money price to make the playoffs. I think there's some hashtag value there. I do like their regular season over wins, over 8.5. That's juice to the over, so other people agree with that and have been betting that as well. I like them to win the NFC West, too, plus 450. I'm not a huge Rams guy. I'm not going to be the Ramley guy. I know You Better Your Bet's going to run that back probably, but I'm not a Ramley guy. Matt Stafford's back already hurts. We're already getting reports about that. Hey, it's July 25th, by the way. So I think the Cardinals have some real upside here. And a lot of that is because look at this schedule. And that's why you should be watching this show, Send It In, on the BetMGM network, live on YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, because A, Sean made a great graphic, and I'm going to reference it a lot here right now. How about opening the year with the Saints and the Panthers? I think we could chalk those both up as wins, people. Here's Tyler Shuck in year one of Kellen Moore. Okay, 1-0 Cardinals. Here's Bryce Young, teeny tiny Bryce Young, even though he did look really good at the end of the season, and the Panthers, who are still figuring their stuff out at home in Arizona. I'm perfectly confident making that a win as well. Then you have to go to San Francisco. I think that's a test, but it depends on who you ask. A lot of people in and out on the 49ers, some people are saying, no, they're going back to the Super Bowl. Other people think this is going to blow up again. What's Christian McCaffrey going to look like? And also, San Francisco has like no receivers. Seems bad. So I don't know. Let's call that a toss-up. Seattle, Sam Darnold without Kevin O'Connell and Justin Jefferson in Arizona. How do we think that's going to go? Okay, then here's the Tennessee Titans and Cam Ward and maybe a lame duck head coach who's only in year two. Then it's at the Colts. Here's Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. Sorry, Sean, even though Sean's a Bears fan anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I digress. But here's the Colts. Then it's the Packers. Then it's the bye. Now here's where things get a little bit, it could get dicey for Arizona. Out of the bye, it's Dallas at Seattle, home San Francisco, home Jacksonville, at Tampa Bay, home LA, at Houston. Ugh. Honestly, I think that it's going to be play on the Cardinals major through the first, what is that, 2, 4, 6, 7 weeks of the season. Then after they hit the bye, and you know what's going to happen because the bye hits on October 26th and the Cardinals come back at Dallas November 3rd. And that's going to be perfect timing for the yearly Kyler Murray discourse. Oh, here we go. Call of Duty's out. Kyler's going to suck. No, it's just maybe going to be a terrible schedule for the Cardinals, and it's going to be really rough. Maybe that's what's going to happen. So I still like the upside of the Cardinals. That coming out of the bye is really not awesome. But then you get at Cincinnati and at LA to end the year. Does anyone really think that the Rams are going to be fully healthy at the end of the year? And also SoFi, not like it's a hard stadium to play. And it's probably going to be mostly Cardinals fans there. And at Cincinnati, week 17, I know it'll be outside in Cincinnati. The weather's going to be terrible, but the Bengals might suck. Oh, by the way, they still haven't paid Trey Hendrickson. And oh, by the way, they still haven't signed their first round draft pick, who's an edge rusher. Seems bad. But what do I know? I'm just a guy with a microphone and a good beard. But other than that, I'm just here to give you guys what I think is good. I still think that the Cardinals over win total for sure. Little sprinkle to win the division. I think they have major upside, especially year two, Marvin Harrison Jr., who just looks like the Terminator now, apparently. He's insane in year two. Still have James Conner, Trey McBride. They've talked extensively about how they want to have him more involved after he scored, you know, zero touchdowns last year, much to the chagrin of Tyler Morales, who was betting anytime touchdown every single week for Trey McBride for some reason. but you know, good captain goes down with the ship. I know that more than anybody. See Luis Heel, Luis Snell, Blake. Speaking of baseball, we will get into that in just a second. But first, we're going to get to your comments, your questions, everything that you have for us here on today's edition of Send It In. Jim Lucas in the chat with four comments right off the bat. Bang, bang, bang. Nick effing Kurtz. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in just a second. Value on Isaac Collins, National League Rookie of the Year from Jim Lucas. I don't think so. I think it's just going to be Baldwin or Mizorowski. Just because Mizorowski has the star power, he's gotten off to a great start. He was an all-star after just five starts. I know everybody cried their eyes out. And then Drake Baldwin, who now is playing every day and has a lot more statistical padding already done. And now the Braves are seemingly finally ditching Marcell Ozuna and benching him most days. And Drake Baldwin's going to play. So I get it. You want to look for value. We're getting bored because we don't want to bet a minus money price, but I don't like Collins. I just don't think he has the peripherals don't line up for me. Just the counting stats don't line up for me. Jim Lucas also says value on Pat Murphy, NL Coach of the Year. This actually I do kind of agree with because everybody was ruling the Brewers out. Nobody wanted to bet on this team. So if they go out and win the division and maybe the Mets just win the division, and if the Mets can somehow scratch out 100 wins, maybe their manager wins manager of the year. I don't know, but there's not a ton of candidates here. And if Council doesn't win the division, they're not going to give it to him. So I do think that Pat Murphy maybe does have some hashtag value there. Jim Lucas also says, why does everyone still think the Yankees are going to win the division? They are an average team. Well, the good news for the Yankees is everybody else in that division is pretty average too. I don't think the Blue Jays are going to stick around. I'm not a huge believer in that rotation long term. I do like the Blue Jays today. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But I don't love that team. The Red Sox are so hot and cold, touch and go. So I think the Yankees might just be able to kind of stumble into that division title is the problem. Brian Giles says, send it in with Jake. Yes, that is what is happening right now here on the BetMGM Network, Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. It's where you can watch and listen live, or you can catch the podcast. Great way to start the weekend. Hope you have a good one. You too, Brian Giles. Cheers. I'm thinking of Kurtz home run Sunday with Sanchez over K's Monday parlay. Both good situations. Our guys. Hashtag our guys, Christopher Sanchez and Nick Kurtz. I hope so. I like the look. Jim Lucas, to end it here, are Judge and Ohtani hit by bus locks? Yes. They could final destination have a car engine be launched on top of them and smush them, and they could win these awards. Like, and I said this yesterday when I was on Colby Marcio's show talking to him, and I've said this across Bet Sweats and You Bet. They are not going to give MVP awards to a guy in Cal Raleigh who's hitting 250 for as many home runs as he hits. They're not going to give it to Cal Raleigh and his 950 OPS over Aaron Judge, who's going to have just as many home runs with a 1200 OPS and hits 350 on the year. I know that's boring. I'm sorry. And similarly, in the National League, they're not going to give an MVP award to a guy hitting 260 and all of his value comes from his base running his defense. I'm sorry. PCA is great. He's super fun. He's great for the game. Not going to win. Let it go. It's over. I'm sorry. He's hitting like 200 over the last 3 weeks. Sorry. Awesome defender. Enjoy your gold glove. You're not winning an MVP. Especially when Ohtani is pitching again. But I digress. All right. Well, that being said, let's get into the card first. And I want to make sure I give you all of the bets for today. And then we'll get into some awards stuff at the end if we have time. As always, thank you to you guys for interacting with the show, for leaving comments, for leaving bets. It is greatly appreciated. But as for today's card, we start with... what a game this is. Marlins and Brewers, Cal Quantrill and Freddie Peralta. I am going to back somebody who has been red hot for the Brewers. And Sean, cover your ears for this one. I'm sorry, not to twist the knife. Give me Andrew Vaughn over 1.5 total bases. Plus 140. This is a fade of Cal Quantrill, yes. But also the Brewers fixed Andrew Vaughn. He's hit 293. He's got a 548 slugging percentage ever since he went to Milwaukee in the trade. I don't know what they did. They fixed him, though. So give me Andrew Vaughn over 1.5 total bases going against the Marlins and Cal Quantrill today. Diamondbacks and Pirates. This is a pick 'em each way. The total is at 9. Ryan Nelson versus Mike Burrows. I kind of lean Arizona. It's the traded hero spot with Josh Naylor famously going to the Seattle Mariners last night. But Mostly, this is about Nelson, who's been pitching much better. He's a little scary on the road, but traded hero spot for Arizona. I still think Arizona's the better team, especially while Suarez is still there. So I'll take the Diamondbacks on the money line in a pick situation, but I don't feel great about it. But that's what I'll go. I think this is a misprice. Rockies and Orioles, Kyle Freeland versus Dean Kramer. I'm not going to lie. You guys know I'm not a Dean Kramer guy. I was a little tempted by the Rockies here, and the Rockies have taken some money. They're plus 190 about 45 minutes ago, down to plus 180. I couldn't get there. And Dean Kramer, actually, credit where it's due, he's been very good when he pitches at Camden Yards. He's got an exactly 2 ERA at home so far this year. And it is the Rockies at the end of the day. So I went Rockies first three, team total under a half run. That's plus 130. I think Kramer first time through the order should be able to shut them down because, you know, it's basically me and Sean in that lineup. It'd probably be better if me and Sean were in that lineup because we're peer athletes. Anyway, moving on. Phillies and Yankees total is at 10. Phillies plus 125. Yankees minus 150. Taijuan Walker versus Will Warren. I think this is way mispriced. I'll take the Phillies on the money line. Will Warren's been good at home. He's got a 3 ERA at Yankee Stadium, but that's been against teams like the White Sox, the Rangers, the Royals, teams that can't hit. The Phillies have a really good offense, especially lately with Bryce Harper being a man on fire. Call him Denzel Washington in 2001. Great movie, by the way. Highly recommend. If you haven't seen it, everyone should watch that. I move on. I think this is way mispriced. I think Will Warren's in for a bad time here. Taijuan Walker has also been pretty good for the Phillies, even though he's been coming out of the bullpen. So I'll take the Phillies on the money line in this one. Dodgers and Red Sox. Dodgers minus 120, road favorites. Red Sox even money. Total is 9.5. Emmett Sheehan against Brian Bayo. I don't have a very strong feeling on this. I get it. How often you get minus 120 with the Dodgers? Brian Bayo is a guy that does a high wire act every single time he's out there. Sheehan's looked decent. So I wouldn't hate a look on the Dodgers. I also think you could do some Freddie Freeman angles because he's got very good history against Brian Bayo. Nothing officially for me, but I lean Dodgers angles, Dodgers money line, Freddie Freeman angles if you really are itching for something in that game. Rays and Reds, this is another pick. Totals at 9.5. Zach Littell versus Nick Martinez. I lean Rays in this one. If I had to make a bet, it would be the Rays on the money line. Littell's been great lately, a 2.78 ERA over his last six starts. Martinez at home, 4.68 ERA. Rays haven't been playing awesome, but I do think that they're the better team. Reds, they're just so unreliable. So lean Rays in that one. Blue Jays and Tigers, Jose Berríos versus Keeter Montero. Tigers are playing awful baseball right now. I'll take the Jays here. And there's some plus money lines out there for the Jays on the money line. I know it's Jose Berríos, but he's got a 3.34 ERA on the road this year. Tigers look atrocious. Blue Jays look really good. I'll take them on the money line. Padres and Cardinals, Nick Pivetta versus Miles Michaelis. I don't know if anybody's watched, but Miles Michaelis has been terrible. He's uncompetitive. He is not a serious person. So let's just throw some home run bets at the wall and see what happens. I'm going to go Manny Machado. He is plus 390, best price out there. 4-for-17, but two of those hits are home runs. He hit one yesterday. We'll keep going with that. Give me Jackson Merrill. Plus 630 is the best price out there on him. 2-for-4 with a double in his career versus Michaelis. Had a two-hit game yesterday. 963 expected slugging against Michaelis. And let's take a real long shot. Luis Arias, 15-1 to hit a home run today. He has good history against Michaelis, a 6.93 expected slugging against Michaelis. Let's take a shot at a super long price. Cubs and White Sox. Let's go White Sox first five. Adrian Hauser has been awesome. This Cubs team does not hit well against him either in their history against him. White Sox, they're pretty frisky with all these young guys. So I'll take the White Sox. I'll take a shot on the first five money line with them in this one. Braves and Rangers. I would only do Rangers angles here. Eovaldi has been awesome. The Braves are terrible. I would only go Rangers run line, Eovaldi to get a win, whatever you can do to get some hashtag value in this one. Guardians and Royals. Give me the Royals on the money line. First five or full game, whatever you prefer. Waka has been awesome at home at 2.72 ERA. A's and Astros would only be the over for me. Two pitchers that I don't trust and are also bad. Let's get the ladders out for Mackenzie Gore against the Twins today. 8Ks is plus 270. 9Ks plus 450. 10Ks plus 950. Narrative play a little bit here because Gore, seemingly on the trade block, would be
awesome if he goes out and shoves and those rumors of him getting traded from the Nationals continue to swirl. Mariners and Angels, I lean Angels a little bit. Jose Soriano, underrated in my opinion. Mets and Giants would only be the Giants in that one. The Jakey Rakes, just for funsies, home run play of the day. Going back to it, I mentioned him earlier, Andrew Vaughn. He has good history against Cal Quantrill. The Brewers fixed him. He's been playing really well. Give me Vaughn, +450 to hit a home run today. And, of course, also all those Padres players. This has been Send It In on the BetMGM Network. I have been Jake Hassan. Thank you to Shane Jackson. Thank you to Sean. We'll see you next time, maybe even next week. And wink, wink. Sean, hit the music.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.